9, and I am at the Charles W. Peace Residence on September Square in Castroville, Texas. My name is Madeline Buble, and I'm interviewing Charles W. Peace for the Castroville Public Library Oral History Collection. Mr. Peace, where were you born?
In San Antonio.
Do you remember, was it in a hospital or just at a residence?
No, it's close around there where they started this parade.
Oh, I see.
That street. What is that?
Grayson Street and
Grayson Street.
And Broadway, I believe,
yes,
is where it was.
Right there.
Well, I'll say. When did your family come to Castroville?
I really don't know.
You don't remember?
Mm-hmm.
And what was your
father? I was young when I came here.
You were young?
About 10 years old.
10 years old. Oh, do you know where you lived before you came here? Do you remember?
Yeah. There was a building next to the trail there, you know.
In San Antonio?
In here.
Here in Castroville.
We lived here.
Is that right? And what was your father's name?
Charles, like I am.
Charles C. Yeah. And did he come from Europe?
He come from Switzerland.
From Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
And what was your mother's name?
She was Marguerite Lutz.
Margaret Lutz.
She came from the Hennies.
I see. And did you have any brothers and sisters?
No.
You're an only child?
Me and my Maggie.
You had one sister,
one
Maggie.
Sister, yeah.
And she married
a man.
Alfred Mann.
All
right. What did your father do for a living?
Oh, he worked in San Antonio when he came to San Antonio. First, he came to this country with Maximilian.
Is that right?
Yeah, him and his uncle. Maximilian was going to take Mexico, or get Mexico, like they do with all these kings, and they give him a piece of land, you know, to go over, and they give him Mexico, but the Mexicans didn't want him. They killed him later on, but my father and uncle run away from the army and come across here, you know.
I see.
And joined the Confederate army.
Oh, so he was in the Confederate?
Oh, yeah. If he wouldn't be, they deported them, you know. They come over here, they had no business coming over. Well, they came with Maximilian, that's the way, come to the new country, you know.
Right, well, and of course the Mexicans didn't want French people in there. Yes, right.
He swam the river and come over there and joined the army. He had to join the army, you know, so they deported him, you know.
Yes. And then he came to this area and he met your mother,
yeah.
Marguerite Lutz,
yeah.
And they married.
In San Antonio.
Met her in San Antonio.
Yeah.
And then
she worked for about $8 a month, I believe, that time.
Is that right? Do you remember? Now we get $8 an hour, huh?
Yeah.
Then you say you lived next to the jail here in Texas.
Yeah, there was a little house next to the jail. We lived there a while. Then later on, my father bought that little house up there where Foxworthy has got now.
Yes, across the street from Foxworthy.
Yeah.
In fact, I think when I was a young woman or a small girl, your mother lived to be quite old, didn't she?
Oh, yeah, she lived in the 80s.
I remember her sitting on the porch.
Uh-huh. And she had a cancer on the breast, too.
Is that right?
And I took her up to Savannah, Missouri,
mm-hmm.
to have that cure.
Cancer clinic.
I was with her. And that cancer was taken out with some solution, you know, no cutting, because the man, I got a book on it, that man didn't think about radio. He wouldn't use radio or electricity. He burned it out. He put it on the breast, the whole thing, and it's like rotten, you know,
mm-hmm.
it takes off. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Then he takes this clan out here.
Mm-hmm.
Your next clan to the breast is right under the arm.
Right.
And 9 times out of 10, it's involved. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So he took it out whether it's involved or not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then she was cured.
She was cured, absolutely. That's a shame. They closed him up, that man. He says he's a quack. You ought to see what he done. But that's the way the medical association works, you know.
That's true.
Yeah.
Where did you go to school? Did you go to the Catholic school?
Go to the Catholic school.
The two-story building?
Yeah, right over
there. That's on the Moy campus?
Yeah.
And did they have a public school, too? Do you?
They have one, but there's nobody in there but a neighbor or two, or few Masons, I believe. All the public school is up there where Bobby lives. Part of that was the public school.
Where the Miller rest home
yeah,
is now?
Yeah, the biggest part of it.
That was the public school.
Public school for a while. Then later on, the public school was in the courthouse here.
Yes. I remember
yeah.
when I was a young...
Mr. Hall had it. Mr. Hall was the teacher. He got $40 a month.
$30 a month. How many years did you go to school?
Not very many. No, I haven't got no education. I'm just like my wife. She has the third grade, I believe.
Third grade. Yeah. And did you have to help your father after school? What did he do for a living, did you tell me?
He worked in San Antonio, he worked for the brewery. The first thing he done, he drove a pig cart with mules.
Yes.
At that time. Then later on, he worked for the brewery.
Was that
later on, he came out here, you know.
Did he work for the Pearl Brewery?
Yeah.
That's the oldest brewery in San Antonio,
yeah,
so he would.
Do
you remember the Carly store and the Coran store?
Oh, yeah. Mr. Coran was a great friend of mine. He, I bought a wagon from him. One tablet. When I was 19 years old, I bought a wagon from him. Or 19 or 20, somewhere around there. Now, Mr. Coran says, what are you going to do with this? I had to buy it on time. I had some money, a little money. And I told him I have to buy it on time. And he shook the head. He says, what are you going to do with this thing? I told him what I'm going to do. They were building this canal here, you know, at that time. And the dam. And I'm going to paddle along there and up to the dam. He says, well, I don't know whether you can make anything out of it, but I'm going to let you have that wagon anyhow. A little 2.5-inch wagon and put a cover on it, you know. That's the way old man Castro had one, you know. He used to paddle there. And I paddled vegetables and so on.
Oh, and
a few years, you know. And then later on, I wanted to haul and jump or anything I could find to San Antonio. I hauled out of San Antonio a long time.
Oh, and what, did you bring merchandise back then when
yeah,
you...
Yeah, I used to take... bones and stuff, you know, and iron, and then bring a load of apples or something back, you know, and paddle them out, you know. Bought the apples at that time for $1.50 a bushel, you know.
What?
You sold them for $2.
There, you made 50 cents, didn't
yeah.
you? What do you remember about building the dam? Did you, were you involved in that in any way?
Well, I was here when they built the dam, you know. But I paddled up there when they were building it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people there, you know, working. Mexicans and other people. They had even stores up there, you know. I don't know, I think, somebody had, I think, who was married to the town reserve?
Girls, am I right? Oh, yes, all right. I'm interested in the Tundry, what is now the Tundry store, which closed just a few years ago. That was owned by the Wernette family, is that correct, before the Tundrys had it?
Philip
Wernette.
Before, it comes from the Keevers.
And
I didn't know the Keevers, but I know... The Tundry, that house, Amy and Tundry had it, saloon around town.
And they had a saloon on
yeah.
the first floor?
Yeah, on the first floor, and they done dancing in the back.
And what about upstairs?
Later on, of course, Philip bought that, Philip Wernette, and he put that top on it.
Oh, it was a one-story building?
Yeah, one-story building.
And then they had the dances upstairs?
Upstairs, yeah.
All right, how many times... or how often did they have a dance?
Was not like now, but never in wonder. So
once a month?
25th of August, and something like maybe 4th of July or something like that, you know.
Well, then how long did the last dances last?
At 5 o'clock.
In the morning?
In the morning. I can remember they still played at 5 o'clock, Home Sweet Home.
So you danced all night?
Oh, yeah.
Well, did they ever have any fights or anything?
Oh, yeah, fights plenty did. The bottles were laying all over the street, you know. Other people drink whiskey. They don't drink whiskey this way no more.
They
do, they just don't see it.
They used to drink whiskey.
Brandy. Yeah, they bought a bottle.
Well, could you buy it right there in the
saloon? You could buy it right there in the saloon. They had a quarter saloon there, what they call a quarter saloon.
Well, can you tell, do you remember about how much a bottle, say, a pint?
Well, you could buy a bottle for 2 bits up to $1 a quart. Sonny Brooks. They had Sonny Brooks that time with the green stamp on it, you know. That's 100 proof whiskey. $1.
Well, now, when they had a wedding, anyone got married, would it be an all-day celebration and then a dance at night usually?
Yeah, mostly, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And were these dances on a Saturday or a Sunday night or?
Mostly on the Saturday night. They had dances, I know, the father, later on then, of course, that's later on, and Father Kitty was here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He raised the Dickens, you know, because they wouldn't come to church. They were tired, you know. You see, I haven't room for who would be dancing now. That's what he said. That's the way, that was his language. He said, you haven't room for who would be dancing now, they come to me to the Kitty phone. Yeah, that's the way it is. Oh, he was out of shot, that guy.
I'm
in the communion with him. He's an awful man.
That was Father Kitty.
Father Kitty, yeah. Yeah. This lady down there, she's still living. Bill Keller's wife, she's still living. She was one of them that went to communion with me the same time. And I can remember she knew everything in the catechism, you know, just like a book. But she got so scared. You know, he was so ugly, you know, and he hit the people with the Bible over the head and stuff like that. And one day she didn't know her lesson, you know. And he said, "Since the Hindu, I'll be cool." That's the kind of language he had.
Okay.
They had that kind of man here. God damn hell. They ought to shot him, somebody.
He sounds like he wasn't a very nice person.
He was an ugly son of a gun, you know. Old man Kemp, you know. His mother, when she died, anyhow, he went and pulled a fence around her grave, pulled it off. You know, old man Kemp, you know, he was going to whip him. He went up there, he run around the house, tried to catch him, you know, up there, right there. And he says, "Bottle of any different whiskey, whiskey in the Verona."
that's an awful way to die, isn't
yeah.
it? Just throwing him in the
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
You said that you would go to San Antonio to buy merchandise when you were had your wagon and cattle
things.
Oh, yeah,
later on I had a bigger wagon, you know. I went and had a D-H wagon, and I went to San Antonio with 3 mules on it.
3 mules?
3 mules. The old blacksmith Ed Sherrod made me an outfit to hang 3 mules in front of the wagon.
I see. Well, how long did it take you to make a trip? Did you spend the night there?
I spent the night in San Antonio. Oh, yeah. I went to one of them places where they had a...
Camp yard.
A camp yard. I went in the camp yard. I went in the camp yard to Mr. Biediger. He was there in San Antonio. Let me see. What Biediger was there?
Ambrose
Biediger, yeah. He was married to Sheerhart. He was married to Rosa Sheerhart, Leo Sheerhart.
Do you remember, did they have any cattle drives that you remember where they'd round up and maybe drive cattle to?
I drove cattle myself.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah.
You drove them to San
Antonio? Yeah, when I was older, I worked for old man Weber down there, and old man, our neighbor was the miller, Emil Miller, and he drove cattle to San Antonio. I went with him to drive cattle to San Antonio.
Well, now how?
Plum wet, you know, that little old jacket on, you know, that little brush jacket, you know. They don't know the water, and I was wet and dry to them by the time I got in there.
Well, you would round the cattle up on the ranch.
Yeah. Well, they bought cattle, you know. And Emil Miller, they had a ranch here, they raised cattle. But old man Weber, he bought cattle around. You know, years ago they used to go around buying cattle. Maybe you remember old man Andrew. Or he bought a lot of cattle, you know.
Well, I remember Mr. L.W. Burrell, but I don't...
Yeah, Mr. Burrell did too, you know.
Well, what they would do would...
He raised a lot of cattle, Mr. Burrell.
They would buy the cattle
buy cattle and send them to San Antonio.
And ship them to...
Yeah,
ship them
there
to
was a Coatman.
And then for a small, they'd make a profit on them.
Yeah.
So the rancher here, or the farmer, he didn't have to worry about getting them to the market. He'd sell them to this buyer, and then the buyer would...
Yeah, send them to him, you know. Of course, no, they didn't know the price of cattle. They took his price, you know, because there was no radio and no nothing like that.
They
never heard what the price is in St. Louis. And a lot of these old hoppers, they couldn't read, no.
Couldn't read anyway, so... how long would this take? Say for instance, would they have a holding pen like here in Castroville?
They used to have one on the Riona. Fellow by the name of Hoyt had a pen there. He drove it there and stayed there for a while. But we had somebody to come out by the name of they got some game folks here. Chips next to Lena, the least next to Lena.
Rips.
Yeah. The old man, his father, maybe his grandfather, he came out here and meet you on the road to help you drift the cattle in, you know, because they had all these gardens there. Belgians were on this side most of them. And we drove over them cabbage patches.
With the cattle.
Yeah.
Did you ever get in trouble going through their
fields? No, Belgians didn't. They couldn't have it, you know. They ran away. There was all, everything open. They didn't have no fences.
Castroville was the county seat at one time, right? Or don't you
remember? Before I got here, they moved it. I didn't know.
You don't remember anything about that? Well, so then you don't remember anything about the problem they had with the railroad either.
No.
What about, how old were you when you married?
Let me see how old it was. 24.
24. Yeah. And your last name?
She was Alice.
Alice?
Alice Katie, yeah. She was the same age. She was born the same time, the same year than I was. She was...
And what was her last name before you married? Alice Maglin.
He came to these gardens, yeah.
Did you have a big wedding?
No, we didn't have the money at that time. We got married and got home.
Went home?
No, we didn't have no money.
And how many children did you and Alice have?
Oh, five.
Five. Mm-hmm. And that's Charles?
Charles, Eugene, Oscar, and Patty.
And Leon.
Leon.
And when did you go into business here?
Oh, 1926.
And you
started? 1926. I bought this place from Dr. Williams. Dr. Williams owned this place. Williamson.
Did he own the whole block?
He owned this half a block.
Half a block.
I bought the half a block from him for $4,000 cash.
And $4,000 cash?
Yeah, I had a little money already that time.
The house next behind the service station, the house that you lived in and raised your family, was that on the property when
that
you bought it?
Yeah. The Bates filled that, you know. That's an old house. That house was around 100 years old.
And
the saloon, too, that was a Bates saloon.
Yes, I've heard about that. And that was a saloon when you bought the property?
When I bought the property, they quit saloon. There were saloons before there. Schmidt had a saloon. F.X. Schmidt had a saloon. And some other people. I think Leo Sherhart, Nick Sherhart. Young Nick Sherhart had a saloon there.
There were a lot of saloons in Castroville.
Oh, yeah. There were this saloon, and there were this here where Thomas, that was a saloon. And then they had another one further up there where the theater is. There was a saloon right in there.
Where the Rainbow Theater is now.
They pulled it out, you know. It was made out of lumber.
Well, what about the bank now? Was the Hagen Saloon at one time? Was that a saloon for a long time?
That was a saloon. That was an Adolf Thunder saloon. Adolf Thunder had a saloon there. And it was, I know when it was built. Old man Seafway, he's one of them that built it. Old man Waver, you know, he's always drunk, but he's an expert. Seafway. And a few of the makers, still. The makers are all rock masons. All these makers was
were rock masons.
Well, some kind of rock mason, yeah. They worked down there. And all of the deers, too, you know. All of them, man, all the deers.
He was a rock mason, a builder? All right, so the building on the corner was a saloon, but then it was closed up when you bought the property, and then you opened a service station?
Yeah, I opened the first service
station. All right, we used to call them filling stations, not service stations.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Yeah, filling stations. I pulled the floor out. It was high floor, and then I pulled the floor out, put the concrete floorboard, put this post in there, you know, made a drive, about half of it made a drive into it. You know.
In other words, the building went out to the street, and
yeah,
you
went
took
out to the street, yeah.
And you took, say, let's say half of it,
yeah,
and made a driveway.
Made a driveway to it.
So
you put one pump right in the middle. That's the only thing. And I didn't have enough money to pay for the gas, so Mr. Dressler, the gas dealers, gave me a load of gas till he see me the next time. You know, he come again and filled me up again.
And then you paid him for the first.
Paid load. Him for both of them.
For both loads.
Yeah.
So you were you were making money.
Yeah, oh yeah, I was doing good. I done more than my boys. I don't know what they're doing. They never made any money. I made money. I sold 30, 40 tires a month. Them little old Model T tires.
Model T and Model A?
Yeah.
And were you open? I suppose you were open 7 days a week.
7 days and most of half a night, yeah.
And half of the night.
Right.
Well, did you, who did you have to help you in the station?
I had Louis Fuentes.
He
was a little boy. I trained him, you know, and he was good. He was good in the filling station.
He worked for you many years.
Many years.
All right, now let's get down to the bootlegging days.
Bootlegging. Well, I bootlegged. I started bootlegging when I had this station. But I didn't bootleg like these fellas around here bootleg, you know. They never made any money. I never made any whiskey. I bought my whiskey from these farmers. You take these farmers in 31, 33, you know, we had a depression here.
Yes, I remember.
All right, there was no money. The people didn't have no money. They were putting me in starving. So they had whiskey. They made whiskey up and down, what do you call this place back here?
It's North Southern.
By the settlement, they all made whiskey. And these habies up here, most of them made whiskey. And they sold me the whiskey for $2 and 2.5 a gallon. But it had to be 100 proof. And I put it in barrels. I had a bunch of barrels with my mother, and I had a little piece of land up here. I had that already. And I had some oat stacks on it. You know, at that time they trash oats, and they made stacks out of them.
Yes.
And I had barrels in there, you know, and put that whiskey in there and let it age.
Mm-hmm.
You take whiskey and put it in a charred barrel. It gets brown in a month. Why, it's just as nice and good, too. Makes it good flavor. And I put it in bottles and shipped it to Kincaid Hotel.
That's in Uvalde.
In Uvalde. Mr. Kincaid, Frank Kincaid, was a good friend of mine, and he bought all my whiskey I could punish. And he sent me a check. Every other day or so, I had a check in the mail.
Well, now, did John Nance Garner ever buy
any? Yeah, also. I sold him a barrel one time.
He was
a barrel. He was very bad.
The Vice President of the United
the
States.
President.
So you were in good company there.
Mr. Kincaid, he was a rich man. He was a millionaire at that time, you know. Of course, he died young, you know. They lived too hard. And he drunk a lot and drank a whole lot. And he didn't live too long. He was a wonderful guy, though, a good friend of mine. And he bought all the whiskey I could punish, you know.
All right, now when you
said, if I could come here, you know, I wouldn't sell no whiskey to them. They'd come and I'd run around here with a bunch of dogs, like them Bangalore boys and a few of them, you know. And wake you up at night. I want the whiskey. I got the whiskey for you.
No whiskey. when you got the whiskey from the farmers, it was clear.
It was white like water.
Clear like water.
95 or 100 proof. I didn't want any. That's the reason I fell out with Lehman, you know. Lehman later on made whiskey, you know. He brought it down here and put it in my stable back there. The stable had a lot of hay and mess in there, and he covered it up. And he fell out with Hay.
Gabe?
Gabe. It was mainly for them, and they had good whiskey. But later on, you know, Lehman, he was doctoring horses and stuff like that, you know. He was busy, you know. He couldn't make no whiskey. He tried to make whiskey, and he had slop, you know. And I couldn't buy it no more. I told him, I can't use that stuff. I got to have 100-proof whiskey to put in a barrel and let it age. And I got a man that buys my whiskey, but it's got to be good.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't use that. So he fell out with me, and he was a deputy sheriff at the same time.
That's funny.
On the border. And he gave me away, you know. Oh, yeah, they took me to jail, and I paid him $100, I believe.
He turned you over to the revenue man?
Yeah. No, it was one revenue man with him, I believe. Yeah.
Well, when you got the whiskey, it was clear, and you put it in the barrels to get
it's
the color.
Nice color. Mm-hmm.
And then
And if the barrel gets old, you know, it won't color no more. It takes the color out of the burnt, charred barrel. You know?
I see.
So you go ahead and get some parched or burnt chips. You could buy them, or I used them by the wholesale. I bought them boxes that high. And you put it in that barrel, to the bunk hole, and that good deal of them. And they go down slowly, you know. By the time they're down, they color the whiskey.
So there was a lot too,
yeah,
to making what was,
yeah,
really good whiskey.
Yeah, and that whiskey was just as good as, better than this whiskey today.
Well, how did you ship it then? Did you put it in bottles or?
I put it in bottles. I bought bottles, you know, from R. M. Hughes and Company by the truckload. And bought the bottles and corks and everything, and all I had to do was drink them out a little bit, and some of them were just as clean as can be in them bottles, in them boxes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I filled them full and put them back in them boxes and shipped them on the bus. And the bus wasn't allowed to take it, but Mr. Painter, I kept Painter on too, you know.
It's possible that maybe that was the part of the
the home. Maybe it was the kitchen, or maybe they had people who worked for them that lived in that little house. Do you think that that could be right?
I don't think so. I don't think Oscar ever had anything to do with that. Of course, he owned the whole block, you know.
I see.
He owned that whole block, you know.
Well, so you actually found the foundation to his house
on
your property.
I told her I had the foundation. You know, they say he left with a woman and went to Mexico, you know, for a costume. Of course, they don't say, I read that too somewhere. And he had a good deal of money yet. And he put it in the ground here somewhere, so I wish I could find it.
You mean there's the story is that,
that
he buried money?
He buried some money, yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
He died in Mexico, in Monterey.
He died in Mexico. And his wife stayed here and died here.
She's buried in our
She's buried up here.
Yes, I know she is. Well, that's interesting. You might have somebody digging in your backyard one of these days. Look, wonder if it was gold.
Well, lots of people say he didn't have one, and he was broke. Which he went broke and tried to get money from the old country. You know, they sent him over here to preempt this country. You know.
Yes.
Settle this country. He come on the park here. That was an open place there. He dumped the people out there like he dumped a bunch of cats out, you know. That's where they landed, right here.
Right here on September Square, right in front of your house.
Yeah, that's where they landed. And he owned this whole block. And later on, of course, I don't know how it was divided up. Anyhow, I bought this place from Williamson. And it was owned several times. Leo Sherrod owns it. And I think old man Sturm owns it. He borrowed money to Mr. Williams.
Well, now,
Mr. Williams was a very poor man when he came here, and a very good man.
The house that Mrs. Crook has restored now, the Derrick family lived in that house. Do you remember the Derrick family?
Yeah, I knew some of the Derricks later on, you know. I didn't know when they lived here. I knew when all the Frys lived in there. Joe Fry lived in there a long time. And his wife is a Derrick. You know.
Yes, now he was also in the hauling business, am I not correct?
He hauled beer.
For the Wernitz?
For one of these saloons, you know. When they needed beer, they sent him to San Antonio with the wagon. They put the beer in the wagon and put the ice on top and put a lot of hay on it, you know. And
that's the way they went.
They got the ice for nothing.
For nothing?
Oh, yeah. They got the barrels and they gave them all the ice they owned. They had the ice factory. They didn't cost much for me, guys, that time. They had a big ice factory, the Pearl Beer.
I understand you make very good wine.
Well, yeah, I still make wine.
You still make wine?
Yeah, you want to give her a little drink? Have you still got some
here? Yeah, I think it's enough.
I give it away, I don't drink it.
Well, now let me, I understand that young Charlie must take after you because he's in the wine making business.
He helped me make wine now. You know, I can't pick no grapes. He brings me grapes. You know.
Now, how do you make good, clear wine? What's the secret to that?
Well, Charlie Boy makes that clear wine. I don't know how to make clear wine. I make these wild grapes, you know, mash them up and get the juice, you know, and that's red, you know. I use 2 pounds of sugar to the gallon.
2 pounds of sugar?
I make sweet wine. He makes sour wine. I don't like it.
He makes it like they do in Europe. Do you play the...
You ain't got no more, huh, Mama?
Not much in
here. I bet it's the sediment there, though. Well, the sediment is shifting.
That's fine.
Grapes,
I don't care for very much. I understand you play the harmonica. Do you still play the harmonica?
Oh, yeah.
Did you?
I play it, I forgot most of it, another thing. I can't hardly play, I ain't got no wind, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You have
to have plenty of
strong
lungs.
I ain't got that no more.
How long have you been retired now, Mr. C?
Not too very long. When I married you, I was still working, wasn't I?
Oh, gosh, I guess so.
And your wife now was, what was your maiden name, Miss Sears?
Jitter. Jitter. And I was married to Kim.
Searcher, we called him now. Jitter.
Mary?
Mary.
Jitter. Jitter. And how many...
She's putting in her... Now she's a little younger, about three or four years younger than I.
Than
no,
you are.
I'm not 4 years.
No?
I'm past 83. And you're 87.
You're 87 now, 87. Mr. C?
Yeah.
That's wonderful. You just...
Your papa is not that old.
No, he'll be 87.
Is he?
He will in August.
Oh, I know he was about a year younger than I believe.
Now, you were telling me about when Gabe Habey was... made liquor whiskey for you?
Yeah.
Did he make it up at his farm, or did he do...
Later on, he did make some at his farm, but I don't think I bought any. I don't know whether I bought any from him at that time.
He bootlicked.
Yeah. Sure, everybody bootlicked around here.
You're right.
But the priest, he did bootlick, but he drank it.
I remember, I was quite small, but I remember that my family was involved with it, although Mother kept it away from us, didn't let us know too much about it, but I know they did it. You know, everybody did.
Yeah, Gabe made whiskey. Gabe had a still for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I never bought much whiskey from Gabe that I remember. Gabe was a good friend of mine.
Anything you can think of about school days or... the olden times?
Well, I know one thing. I went to school and never learned that. I never done nothing wrestling and fighting. That's all.
So that was a waste
when
of time?
When I first came here, I was a little boy, you know, about 7, 8 years or 10, maybe. I don't know exactly. And we talked German, you know. My father talked German. We talked German at home.
You did not talk Alsatian?
Not Alsatian, no. So I couldn't talk Alsatian when I came here. And these kids around here said, "Oh, sure,
they called you.
And you know, they always had it in for the Lutrische years ago. If they had a party and you brought a present there, that was a sin.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I know that the Catholics and the Lutherans didn't get along.
They didn't get along, no. Uh-uh.
So because you spoke German, they thought you were Lutheran.
Lutheran.
That's interesting. I do remember that there was a lot of hostility, or they didn't get along.
They didn't get along.
And if a Catholic fell in love with a Lutheran, that was really bad, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They couldn't hardly...
Oh, yeah. They couldn't stand that, but now it's different, you know. They're married right there in church, you know.
They wouldn't allow it then.
No, they wouldn't allow it. Uh-uh.
Because I remember my parents, one was Catholic.
And they wouldn't allow to give the host to everybody could handle the host but the priest.
Only the priest. Yes, church was much different.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, much different.
Well, I...
Years ago, you know, my father, I was baptized Luther.
You were?
Oh, yeah, I was baptized Luther. My father fell out with the priest in San Antonio by name of Peppercorn. He pulled something on him, I don't know, about his wife, his first wife. He was married before, you know.
Your father was married twice?
Oh, yeah.
Is that your wife?
Yeah, he was married before. And had no children.
And did his wife die?
My wife married my mother, and she had two children.
Well, did his first wife die?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. His first wife died in San Antonio.
And then you were baptized a Lutheran.
I was baptized a Lutheran when I was born with my mother.
Mm-hmm.
She fell out with the Catholic priest over there.
And then when did you become...
Then I married my wife here, and she was Catholic, and I joined the Catholic Church again. You know who was my
godmother?
My godmother. She was big as a house. You know her, maybe. She was a terror. She married a terror.
I see.
Hubert Terror.
No, I don't believe
Hubert
I knew that.
Hubert Terror. They had a house there where the professional building is. There was their house. And she couldn't get in this room here. In this, she was so big. She was a Conrad. One of the Conrad girls. that married all the Zreens, and Louis Mangles was a Conrad, and the Zreen down there, that, what is his name, he had two of them, Conrad, and they were all big people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Miss...
And she was your godmother.
She was my godmother, and Louis Scherer was my godfather. Louis Scherer, you remember?
Yes, I remember the family, yes.
Scherer. He was kin to me, and Louis Scherer was, mm-hmm. you know. His mother was my grandpa's sister, Lutz.
Do you remember when they built the first bridge here in Chesterville?
Yeah, in 1903.
You remember that?
Yeah, I had a piece of steel here in front of the bridge and in back of the bridge on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And he left one of them here
mm-hmm.
with me, give it to me. And it's on there, the commissioners and all, August Sherrod was commissioner, and Finger and a few of them were commissioners, it was all on there. And I had it laying out there, and you know them damn fools, when I was in the hospital here some time ago, they come and get it. Somewhere.
So that was when Highway 90 went through town, is that right?
Yeah. It went through here, in front of
your business place.
It went up there as far as where I lived, you know. Mr. Foxworthy's got that place, mine up there, the old place.
And you lived there?
Yeah, and from there they went straight up the hill.
They didn't make the corners?
They made these corners later on, you know. These stores pulled them around from one side to the other.
Oh, so originally Highway 90 went to the corner.
Straight up to that place and straight up.
Well, that's interesting. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. It was, who had that store out there in Honda, Mama?
Schmidt and Steinhardt.
Schmidt and Steinhardt had the store. Steinhardt was a Jew, and every Saturday, when he come down the hill, he drove the light right in our house. He had such a big car, you know, Rolls Royce or whatever they
call it. Rolls
Royce? Yeah, He went to town every Saturday night. He went to town. He was married. Mr. Schmidt lived in Hondo, and she worked for Mr. Schmidt.
Your wife, Mary, worked for Mr. Schmidt?
Yeah,
well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
2.5 years for $15 a month.
Did you keep house for them?
Keep and everything.
For five men, three children, and six people. Cook and help. She helped them cook. No vacuum cleaner, no nothing.
Go down your knees.
You know, and hang them on the line and beat them up like that. And I got 15, and I worked 2.5 years.
And then did you get married?
Then I got married
to Albert Kemp.
Kemp.
Mm-hmm. And I was married 34 years to him.
Mm-hmm.
And now you got this old chunk.
And then you married Mr. C, huh? This wine is delicious. I like it.
Yeah,
very good. And this is some you made.
Yeah, that's what I make every year. I make it every, if I can get the grapes. I had one girl.
I don't think it's got any. It's the last
one. Oh, Melda Maglin on here. She's my girlfriend, too, you know. And she told me she's going to get the grapes for me if she has to go on all fours.
Oh? Does she get some of the wine then?
Yeah.
You give her some of the wine.
Yeah. Big money in bootleg.
Well, I believe
only
that.
One. The only one. Only one but one man. I tell you who that is. And you wouldn't believe it. That's Jackie. Little Jackie, what is his name? That's like that.
Archie?
Archie.
Archie Jackie?
Yeah.
Archie.
Is his name Archie?
Sure.
Anyhow, he's one that made money out of it. I tell you, he made whiskey, nobody knew it. He wouldn't give a drink to nobody. He let nobody smell whiskey around there.
Mm-hmm.
And he put it in big barrels and had it, people from San Antonio come out and get it.
Mm-hmm.
And he made money.
Well, that was the only way.
He didn't bootleg it. No, you wouldn't get no whiskey there.
Well,
I knew that he was making it.
Well, am I right about this, that there were several people here in Castorville that would sell it by the drink? Just you could buy a drink of whiskey, is that correct? Like a shot?
Yeah, I guess Mr. Grove stayed over there.
Every day he sold whiskey by the drink, so I...